fatherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Well, we're so excited this morning to share with you guys, you know, some of the ways that we grow in Christ and feed ourselves in Christ at home. You know, with the virus and everything that's kind of been going around, I don't know if you've noticed, we probably have a little more time on our hands. And what a great opportunity to use that time to be postured Godward. There's no NCAA tournament. There's no baseball going on in the spring and some of those things. So it's interesting that we're just talking about today how we grow ourselves in Christ at home and when we're, you know, not at church, for example, the gathered church. It's so interesting because the staff will tell you that this panel discussion we're about to have this morning has been rolling around in my spirit for about a month. We just weren't sure how we would get it done. We thought, well, maybe some Saturday after Prayer Shield we could talk, or maybe on a Sunday night we could do something in the fellowship hall. But the whole purpose of it was, Lord, how do we, if the vision and the goal for 2020 is the Lord's heart and goal is that we mature, then, Lord, how can we best help not just Grace Church, but all those who worship online with us and so forth? What are some tools? What are some nuggets we could give them to help grow themselves in Christ? Because we've talked probably for over a year, Sundays aren't enough. And if you think that Jesus came to start just Sunday church services, you missed the reason he came. He came for intimacy with the Father, intimacy with him. He came to restore a personal relationship that had been lost. And that relationship can go on every day. So I want to say prophetically to the body of Christ and all those watching today that we absolutely can grow and mature during this time. Gretchen mentioned it's week to week right now. We don't know how long till we can corporately gather in a gathering of over 50. But I want you to hear what I believe is from the Spirit of the Lord. We can absolutely grow. There's no reason that whenever we do come back together corporately, that we should all be emaciated. In other words, that we're spiritually, downtrodden because, my goodness, we haven't been in the Word. We haven't been sitting with Jesus. We can do all of that. And it's almost like the Lord has prepared us in that sense, because we've been talking about this for so long. But the way I see it, when we do come back together in a corporate setting of 50 or more, let it be like a bunch of lit matches got thrown into the same room. You know, and let there be this giant explosion of the Lord's grace and his presence. But I just want to reiterate that there is no reason that we have to, you know, fall off the vine or not be well fed when we come back together. He lives inside of us. Jesus is not confined to a church building. And so his Holy Spirit is quickening us in this hour to continue to foster intimate relationship and growth and maturity with him. I love Matthew 11:29. I think I mentioned it last week, where Jesus said that we could learn from him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so, you know, during this time we can spend time with him. We can also spend a lot of time with our families in the Word together. We can spend time with, as Gretchen mentioned, our spiritual families and our small groups as well. It was declared a little while back, a couple of weeks ago, that God's coming back to his church. But the rest of the word was that he's not coming back to a church building, but back to our daily lives, back to the inner chamber of our hearts. And we talked about how Jesus Christ, the one thing he's doing right now is building his church, maturing his church, so the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. So with that, I want to invite the panel to come up. And I'm going to open up, you know, the questions to them. First one being, what are some things that have really worked for you guys to foster your intimacy with Jesus and to mature you in Christ? And Gretchen, I'll just throw it to you first. And let me say it again. What are some things that you would say have really worked for you to foster your intimacy with Jesus and maturity in Christ? You know, whether you're at home or, but throughout the day where we don't have the benefit of a corporate gathering.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked a lot about abiding the last several weeks, and or maybe months, yeah. mm-hmm. for a while now, and that is staying continually connected to Him. And we were talking as a staff yesterday even, like, sitting with Jesus is part of abiding.
Right.
But if we just, like, stay connected through Him out throughout the day, but we don't really sit with Him, you know, what is left out in our spiritual growth and things like that? And so I think for me, I've learned to start having a rhythm. Now, this isn't scheduled, okay?
Right, yeah.
But it's just like I know what my Father's asking me to do, and I know what's good to keep my flesh patterns
at bay
mm-hmm. and my mind transformed and renewed and
Amen.
Things like that. And so when you look at Jesus's, you know, even the rhythm of His life,
yeah.
he put everybody to the side at times, and He went and got alone.
Right.
With the Father. Now, a lot of times it was up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I will refer to that, but that doesn't mean like we have to physically go up a mountain to get to God or like He's way up there. It's figuratively
yeah.
of like, hey, everybody away,
time away
and
yeah.
it is just me. And so for me, I've gotten into what I feel like there's still some fine tuning, but a healthy rhythm
mm-hmm.
of like, I spend every morning with Him. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker or anything okay. like that. So, it's my functionality in the morning is not as grand at night because I'm a night owl. And so my time with Him in the morning is a little, smaller. It's usually in worship, and usually I read, or I listen to a passage, just mm-hmm. whatever He lays on my heart. And sometimes it's several verses, sometimes it's a chapter. But then throughout the day, like, you know, I'm continually abiding. And then at night is my kind of more my concentrated time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of you have a morning devotional. Mine is usually in the evening or my more concentrated time. But then I have a rhythm and it just yeah. kind of depends. But like where I really go up the mountain with Him
mm-hmm.
and it's like several hours.
Yeah.
And it's
just you and Him.
Just me and Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you journal much during that time, or is it more just He's saying, sit with me, be with me?
It's a mix.
Gotcha.
So there's sometimes, I mean, to be honest, a lot of my mountain time is in the bathtub, my devotion room, or the porch.
Yeah.
And so, this year I've started doing a digital journal. And so, meaning just on my phone, a document on my phone.
Oh.
And that I'm having to find a new rhythm for. But I enjoy it because I can go back and search for it easy. And it's with me all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like at home or here or whatever.
I think what's interesting is, it's probably fair to say there are varying ingredients mm-hmm. that would go into maturity and health where our personal relationship with Christ is concerned. Because I threw out the word journaling.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about sitting with Him, being with Him is different than abiding.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mention a little bit later, even prayer. I think these are all different aspects and disciplines that go into a healthy rhythm,
yeah.
if I could take yeah. that word, that help foster maturity yeah. and increase intimacy.
And I can tell you one of the things that I've learned about myself is when I start getting irritable, I need to go up the mountain.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I just find a huge slot, whether it's in a morning or at night or in the middle of the day. And then several times a year, I get away to the lake and just for 2 or 3 days, and it's just Him and I.
Gotcha.
I don't take anything with me except my Bible and my journal and, you know, my Bluetooth speaker for my worship.
Yeah.
And I just get away with Him. And that really helps my soul to be transformed.
I love the intentionality of that. That's another word we've heard a lot over the last couple of months. We have to be intentional. If we're not directed that way and purposeful and intentional in cultivating mm-hmm. relationship,
yeah.
then our life will be led, because we live in this blizzard, you know, of distraction and all that, which oddly enough has subsided a little bit, even though the media and there's lots of stuff going on. But if we aren't intentional in developing and time and relationship, then our life can be driven by habit or distraction
right.
or distress. So, Nikki, let me throw it out to you. Mm-hmm. Same question, just about what are some things that have really worked for you to enhance your relationship with Christ?
Well, for a long time, I kind of struggled with this is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And I don't fit in that box that I thought that it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, good Christians are supposed to do this and this and this. You know, you're supposed to journal. You're supposed to, sit down and read your Bible, and then God speaks. Okay, well, yeah. First of all, you know, good Christian.
Right.
You know, that term.
That term.
God kind of spoke to me on that one. He's like, is that what I asked you to be?
Mm-hmm.
Or did I just say, follow me, listen to me, you know,
yeah.
Relate with me, speak with me, you know, I have things to share with you. That's what he wanted from me. Mm-hmm. So first box, blown up. Then second, you know, I'm not a journaler. I try, and I put that pressure on myself, and then when I failed, I kind of didn't want to do it again, because then I'm like, it was just too much pressure, and so it actually pushed me away from spending time with God, because I felt like I wasn't living up to what I thought it should be.
Your standard.
I'm like, everybody else does it so much better than me. Okay, well, that was me putting pressure on me, and God was just, you know, I'm not asking you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I found things that really I do get excited about.
Okay.
You know, and Jody will tell you too, like, I get very excited when I talk about, like, I love learning, like, the history of the Bible.
Mm.
Like, the real history of the time back, you know, when all of these things were written.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
What was going on.
The culture.
Yes, mm-hmm. The culture, you know, everything about it, yeah. Because it makes, you know, the Bible come alive even more to me. More so than when I was just reading a book. You know, that kind of stuff I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find, like, I'm learning about Hebrew words, mm-hmm. and how one word can have multiple meanings.
Right.
They have so many less words than we do.
Yeah.
You know, and God's been speaking to me through those words. And when you read some of, like, the Old Testament, which is, you know, kind of known as some of the most confusing or boring or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever in the Bible, it's actually pretty funny
mm-hmm.
and humorous. And they have, you know, so many meaning in one word. And God did that on purpose, you know. And I can see his intentionality mm-hmm. throughout those things. And he speaks to me in those ways. And so it made it to where I wasn't just aimlessly sitting down to read something and get something. You know, he spoke to me in those ways where I felt like I had a purpose when I would sit down. And and I wasn't so, this is what you have to look like.
And I think that's awesome in that it speaks to, he knows us, mm-hmm. each one, that he made us a certain way, mm-hmm. and he knows how you would best connect with him.
Right. I mean, anybody that knows me, like, knows that I talk a lot. So, like, words are sort of my thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love to look up definitions of words.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like God took a thing about me,
right.
But it's a gift that he gave me, and mm-hmm. he's helping me to harness the gift of words.
Mm.
And now I get to take, you know, my plethora of words.
Right.
And here the Hebrew language has like 8,000 words total. And I get to, like, dive into that. Mm. You know, he's taken this love of words and he's transforming it. And they call Hebrew the heart language of God because, you know, that's like a lot of original text was written in that. And just how many things he can reveal with so few words.
Yeah.
You know, he paints pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And that even speaks to, like, I dream.
Mm-hmm.
I have dreams, and sometimes they're ridiculous. But I dream almost every night. But there's been some really, really revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
revelatory things that he's shown me through dreams. Yeah. And those are what I remember because I don't journal. Sometimes I, you know, have trouble remembering what he's told me, but those pictures, those images, those scenes that I see, you know, those stick out to me.
That's
awesome. And he's helped me to harness that, you know, throughout abiding. You know, we talked about, there's a difference between abiding and sitting with Jesus, like mm-hmm. they go hand in hand,
mm-hmm.
but I'm very visual. And so you know, the Hebrew language too, it does paint pictures and tell stories because they think differently than we do.
Yeah.
You know, back in those days, they weren't as logical. They were more storytelling like Jesus did.
Absolutely.
And it just makes me think. Yeah, but like abiding, you know, I'm always married to my husband. We live in the same household, but we take, you know, intentional time to go on dates.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we abide, but we also sit together.
Yeah.
You know,
intimate time together.
Yeah. And just like with my child, I'm always my child's mother. I'm always around her. I'm always doing things with her, but sometimes my mind is other places, you know, cause I've got a lot to do. We're abiding, but those moments where I stop and I look at her little face and I see her freckles and I see how her face has changed shape. And just, I look at her eyes and I see all the color that's sitting with her. That's, you know, an intimate moment with her.
Yeah.
Those little things, you know, those moments are what adds up to real relationship with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, those, the tea parties, that's relationship.
I think the connecting is the abiding part. And he'll use the many words. He'll use the pictures that are formed to, that's where you connect with him. I think that's part of abiding is just we are connected to him in whatever capacity. Even if we're working or, you know, out on a job, you can do that from a place of rest and connection with him being present with you. So Jody, let me ask you the same question. Do you want me to repeat it? Okay. All right.
I think for me, kind of piggybacking off of what she said, for me it has evolved how I grew and how we spent intimate time in the beginning is much different 25 years later than it was in, you know, when I first started walking with him. Unlike the panel, I wasn't raised in church, so I don't, I didn't have a bunch of preconceived notions.
Yeah.
I still took my cigarettes into church with me. I didn't know that was not right. Kind of didn't know that wasn't right. So I feel like he kind of had a clean slate, and sometimes I look back and I'm just amazed at what Holy Spirit taught me when, like they're some of those really foundational, deep things that I didn't feel like anybody was teaching me, but when I was spending time with him. So what happened was, I got a job and started walking with the Lord almost around the same time. And this job was an office job and it was 8 hours a day and they maybe got 2 phone calls a week. It was the most boring job. And I don't just sit and do nothing well. It was really horrible. And so, and there's nobody in the office. Like there was two guys that hired me. They were always out doing their thing and whatever. So I was always in there alone. And I got where I just started bringing my Bible and a dictionary and a pad of paper. And, unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize there was an Amplified Bible, but that's basically what I was doing, was making an Amplified Bible.
Oh, okay.
I would just read a passage and I would pick 4 or 5 words out. And I would look up the definition of them and whatever part stuck out to me, I stuck in the scripture. And then I wrote out this big, long scripture because I have a lot of words like Nikki.
How long had you known him when you started doing this?
A
few months.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. And so, and that is actually what brought the word alive to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I grew to love looking up words. I never had that before I was walking with him. But I did spend intentional time. So the chart that you showed us last week where it was like we're praying to him.
Oh, right.
And then we're
listening to him.
And then we're being with him. So I would spend time talking to him, like praying.
Yeah.
And whatnot. I don't think I did a lot of listening in that particular time, but he talked to me throughout the whole day.
Mm.
So, but then, you know, that transforms and stuff. And I think for me, one of my biggest lessons in this has been kind of going with Gretchen's rhythm is when your rhythm of life changes and you keep trying to fit God in that box. So when I started walking with the Lord, I didn't have children. And so I spent about 3 years of some very intense, lots of intentional time with him. We had just moved to the city. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have friends. I didn't have a church, really. I mean, we went to a church, but that was about it. I just sat at home, hung out with Jesus. And so, then I started having children, and I had two very close together. My kids are 12 and a half months apart. And so the rhythm of my life changed drastically, and I didn't know how to keep up, because in my mind, this is what worked. This is how it was.
Right.
I don't have hours to sit in my chair and have it be quiet and hear the voice of the Lord. And it was a really hard and a really dark, it was a very much a wilderness time. And I've always been a journaler. I was just telling Gretchen the other day that a couple months ago, the Lord, I was coming in here on a Wednesday morning, during prayer, and I had my journal, my pen, and my Bible, and he's like, I really would like for you to quit journaling for a while. And I'm like,
yeah,
well, that could not have been the Lord. And, so I'm like, well, why would I do that? Because my memory's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, because in the beginning, you used to sit with me and we would talk and I would share something and we would talk about it. And it would get into my heart.
Yeah.
And then later, I would go sit down and journal about it. Well, I had got in the habit of he would start to say something, and I would grab my journal and start writing, and then it was done. And then I would just shut my journal, and, you know, I'd go back and read my journal. I'd be like, man, that was really good.
Right.
And I would always think, that would have been really good to sit with. Like, he probably had a little more something to share in that.
How long ago was that he told you, hey, don't journal?
That was probably about 3 months ago.
Okay, so this is really, we haven't talked about this. It was, I was looking for it today. It was either November or December of last year that he told me the exact same thing. But I didn't even have to ask why. He said, will you put the pen down? He said, because you've gotten quite adept at listening and writing down what I say. And it's basically, it's not penetrating.
Right.
And exactly. That's what would happen. What he's saying is incredible. I would go back and read it later and be like, wow. Then it would touch my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you've become so adept at it, you're missing something. So what he said was, I want you to put the pen down and be with me. So you go back, you know, to the chart. We pray to him in the outer court, and then we start listening to him as we grow and mature. But his goal is that we be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that that's the time he had said, and I shared it with church a couple of times, but he said, Steve, if you'll rest and sit in my presence and my glory, he said, then my glory and my presence will rest upon you. And so
that's,
I find
really
that good. So interesting that he kind of challenged you with the same exact thing he told me, that we can journal, and journaling is great,
right.
But the end goal is it needs to get in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I was not letting that happen. And so, and I've been on about a year journey of him teaching me how to set with a thing. Because I think we get so much, it's so available everywhere, that we just go from one word to the next word to the next word to the next word, and we don't ever just let the thing that he's highlighting set and do a change and do a work.
Right.
And so I have been disciplining myself to not move on,
right.
You know, like, this word's not that fun. Can we go to the next one, please? Because this one's kind of crucifying my flesh.
How about this one? So do you ever, the rhetorical question, do you ever sit with, because I have found myself, I will sit with something in the natural, a situation. I will sit and dwell on it, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm trying to solve it. And he's like, hey.
Hello.
Yeah. Why are you in that realm?
Yeah.
Because that won't do you any good. If you want to sit with something, sit with me over here. Isn't that? And he would give me his perspective, which totally nullified the hour I had sent toiling over a situation trying to figure out my own.
He does
wisdom.
Tell me that often. Like, if you spend as much time rehearsing my
right.
word, my strategies, my whatever, as you do the situation, it would be. And I think the other thing, much like Nikki, that he's been showing me. And this took a couple of years for it to kind of get into, I don't know why we get these preconceived notions of what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. Like, I didn't start with them, but
right.
I picked them formed, up along yeah. the way. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that he speaks to me is in worship. And
very good. Glad you said that.
And I think, well, I don't think, I know because he told me the other day that I forget what the situation was, but I asked him, like, what lie am I believing? And he said, you have told yourself that this is an immature way to hear me.
Hmm. And on the worship side? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, okay. That's how babies hear Jesus,
wow.
not mature Christians. Hmm. And I had basically, so what he was speaking to me was I had basically shut that down, not completely,
yeah.
but I didn't give it a lot of credence in my life. And I think it's one of the ways that he tried to speak to me in that wilderness time.
Yeah.
But because I'm trying to be mature,
right.
I'm like, no, it has to look different than that. And
wow.
I don't know why he chooses to speak to me like that.
Right.
I'm not musical. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen to a lot of music growing up.
Yeah. There's other people that have that same testimony though. And to me, it goes with what kind of your preconceived idea about journaling a little bit. Mm-hmm. He knows us and man, there's something. He knows our wiring, so there may be those that really have that connection through mm-hmm. worship, others who could be a dream or word pictures and those things.
Yeah.
Before, I think this is going exactly where we want it to go in the sense that what are the different aspects and angles, the things, tools, if you will, disciplines, if you will, that help us to grow and mature in Christ? Mm-hmm. Before I ask you what you believe sitting with Jesus is, because I think that's one of them. Anything either of you two want to add to what we were just talking about? No? Okay. Let's talk then about, when we talk about growing ourselves in Christ, and we don't have this corporate gathering, so we're going to be have some time to ourselves with the Lord, time at home, those maybe at work, wherever. Sitting with Jesus. When I first heard the thought of sitting with him, I thought of Luke 10, 38 through 42, Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. So much of the church, it seemed like, is Martha, and they're always working for him and trying to please him. And there can be a good place for that, but clearly in this instance, Mary is seated at his feet listening to him. What do you see when you hear about sitting with Jesus?
I think it's the total aloneness. Now, there are times when I take people with me, to
sure.
sit with him
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
I'm teaching them what it like that scripture, if you taste and see that the Lord is good,
mm-hmm.
it's not teaching them like this is what it looks like. I'm teaching them this is what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
It can look whatever way it is, but if you taste this, you're not going to want to go back.
Yeah.
And so, man, I don't know any more than what they're talking about. I mean, I use a write the word journal,
mm-hmm.
and so unfortunately, right now none of them are very manly, but it's a really good resource. Actually, the Lord's birthed some things in my spirit to kind of, I'm actually working on writing something similar to this, but it gives you a scripture, and I don't do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even do it every week. I do it when I feel like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
And it gives you a scripture, and you actually write it out, and then the next page just says what's on your heart today. So you can journal about what's on your heart or things in the scripture he's speaking to you. But I think one of my biggest things in sitting with him and even abiding throughout the day, I've learned to ask myself the hard questions. Jody had mentioned that in what she was talking about. I don't remember exactly, but it was like, yeah, it's those hard questions. So when I'm sitting with him, I ask him those hard questions.
Hmm.
Like, why did I react to that? Or why am I not more joyous? Or
mm-hmm.
Like you were talking about the journaling, both of you guys were, and how you were writing stuff down, but you weren't letting it penetrate you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you speaking to me, whether it's in scripture or in an observation of my flesh, whether it's good or bad? Like, why did that bring me so much joy? Were you in that? Or do I have somebody in the wrong place or
mm-hmm.
something in my life? And then what am I going to do to walk out that obedience, to make it a real part of my soul, to bring the Spirit life into my soul?
And that's excellent. To ask Him those questions.
And they're hard questions.
Yeah.
And He's faithful. He'll straight up tell you. You want to know what lie you believe in? Here.
Yeah.
Here it is. And, oh, my goodness.
And sometimes it comes in Scripture where, like what Jody was talking about, she almost made her own amplified Bible.
Yeah.
Sometimes mine is, it's a Scripture that He personalizes to me in a Dear Gretchen, Love Jesus letter. And then He tells me in it what I'm going to do to walk it out. You know? And I have to say, yes, I'll do that, or I'm going to wait on it.
Wow.
I'm going to be in total rebellion or disobedience.
We've talked a lot. You've been at Grace Church since we started in the house. We've talked a lot, at least the last 10 years, about hearing and prayer is listening, but obedience. Why do you feel like that obedience, outside of the biblical answer, but obedience is something that He's really stirring in our hearts the last, you know, several months, not just hearing, but hearing and obeying? Because that, I heard that in the question. You don't want to just know the answer. You want to walk it out. Yeah. Talk about that.
If we really want transformation to conformity, you better walk it out.
But we don't like dying very much.
I know, but man, I love this. And this is a conversation I was having with a guy that I'm friends with, and we were talking about the coming and dying moments, like where the Lord is laying this in front of you and saying, are you going to die to this? And I'm like, how do you even put into words? Because it goes back to the taste and see. Like, if somebody can taste and see that when they die to something and new life comes forth, man, it is like, and I love how He put it into words. He said, it's like you're physically dying.
Yeah.
But then you like have 10,000 pounds off of you, and there's a spring in your step.
Yeah.
And that is what a come and die moment is, like when you really will die to something.
Yeah.
And so many times we just look at the thing and we're like, oh yeah, we're dead to it. And we're continuing to walk in it.
Yeah.
And it's not, we're not dead to it. And you know, I have some people that I walk with in disciple making, and one of the ladies, she's really in this hard season. Like, it just feels like I'm dying all the time. And I go back to, I don't know how many of the people were here when we, when Stacy and I were up here, but I showed the picture of the onion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, it was rotten and disgusting in my refrigerator for over a year, and it was brown and mush. But in the center of it, new life
just
was coming out of it. And Gavin even challenged me, put it in the ground and let it reproduce.
Yeah.
You know, put it in the ground. Amen. Yeah.
I think knowing on the front end that if I die, I will live. There'll be great life. Yeah, absolutely.
He died on the cross
the model
and He lived.
That life comes out of death. Right? It's a principle.
Yeah.
And then
the
other one
law.
Is that if I die, I will bear fruit. It's John 12.
Yeah.
If I die, I will bear fruit. Right. And that fruit's going to be his character of love,
and I think
joy,
there's a fear in the dying, because people are like, well, He's going to take away my desires. No, He's going to align your desires to be His.
Amen, yes.
That's what happens when you...
align our desires. I remember that when we come back to prayer. Let's move to abiding. So we talked about sitting with Jesus. Abiding in John 8:31, He said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. Now, Scripture wasn't written yet, so He can't just be... You can't just equate abiding to reading a Scripture. We touched on it a little bit, so we don't have to stay long. But anything you all want to add on abiding, staying connected with Him throughout the course of the day, living, I like this one, living attentively in His presence throughout the day?
I think, so I was actually thinking about this morning, and it goes back to Nikki's analogy about marriage. And, you know, there are just some things, if you are truly partnering with your spouse, you just don't do unless you've discussed it with them or had a conversation with them. And
okay.
So for me, good. It's
like buy a house.
Yeah. Okay. You know, buy a car, buy a motorhome, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
Leave for a week. Just, you know,
very
some
good.
Things should
yeah.
be discussed.
Yeah.
Eat the leftovers in the fridge.
But I think it's more than the act of doing that. It's the mindset that I'm not living this life alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not single.
That's right.
And yeah, I have somebody else that I need to stay
that's
in contact
fantastic.
With and
thank
communicate
you.
With. And I don't get to make all these decisions. It's
yeah.
foolish to make all these decisions on my own.
Fantastic. Because it just came out, I think it was last week or the week before, that Jesus did nothing of his own initiative. So he only did what the Father led him to do, mm-hmm. spoke to him to say. And that's really what lordship
right.
is,
yeah.
is that I'm
right.
not living single here. I am
right.
married to him. Mm-hmm. And so everything, every choice that's before me needs to be mm-hmm. run by him.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Anything else on abiding?
I haven't decided yet if I think it's a sitting with Jesus analogy or an abiding analogy.
Okay.
But in Exodus 24, when Moses went up the mountain,
mm-hmm.
you know, God called him to come up the mountain and be with me and stay here a while.
Yeah.
And while he was there, he gave him, you know, 10 commandments, but he said, come be with me and remain with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he asked him to come and stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, really, it just kind of says he asked him to come physically be present,
right.
but to mentally be present.
Mm-hmm.
And you can live with someone in a household and then be completely disconnected.
Yeah, and be absent. Yep,
and,
that's right.
You know, you can go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You can go across the world. And if you're, you know,
yep.
you're missing everything around you. You're missing the people that are with you. You're missing the environment that you're in.
That's really good.
And, you know, while he was there,
mm-hmm.
we don't really know how long he was there, but while he was there, God gave him something to take with him,
right.
mm-hmm.
you know, instruction
to
for
walk
the future.
Out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The walking out.
Yeah.
And so he had a sitting with God moment
mm-hmm.
that led to an entire people abiding.
Yeah.
Or well, supposed to.
Yeah.
but
living connected.
Yeah.
I love your example because you can be married. You're still married, but you're not living connected. You can
yeah.
be on vacation or in the car together and not be connected.
Right.
And I was reminded of John 15, you know, when he said, abide in me and I will abide in you and you'll bear much fruit. And then he said, for without me, you can do nothing. And he's like, Steve, that's it.
Yeah.
Abiding is doing everything with me, living connected. If you're not abiding, I'm still with you, but you're living as though I'm not there.
And I think in our generation, that's a very hard thing. We don't do that well.
Yeah, I agree.
He asked me last year, there was some situations going on, and one of the directives that he gave me was to stay present. Holy moly.
Yeah.
That has been the hardest thing. Number one is the first thing that I forget
mm-hmm.
until he reminds me again. But it's just not something that comes real natural.
But I want to speak to this yeah. as your friend.
Oh, boy.
Is this a come and die on film?
We're going to get it on film.
Come and die, liar and die. We'll sacrifice
No, like you struggled staying present, but the fruit in your life from your obedience when you chose like those small acts of obedience,
mm-hmm.
you've got a beautiful vineyard now, even
mm-hmm.
though things aren't perfect. And you have matured greatly. And I watched you this week even know that your heart is protected by the Lord.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to fear that anymore. And that is fruit of you walking out your obedience with him. And it's beautiful.
Amen.
Moving on.
I want to leave a couple of scriptures here on abiding. You quoted it out of the Passion, I believe, when we started, but Proverbs 3:5-6,
yeah.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Acknowledge him. Live connected, and he'll make your paths straight. Let's talk a little bit about prayer. You know, I had written the Reformations in Prayer book, I think it was around 2015, 2014. But you mentioned alignment earlier. And so one of the things he said, and I'd been pastoring, if it was 2015, How many years? A long time. 20 years. But he's or been in ministry for 20 years. He said, you need to use prayer to align yourself with me. Mm-hmm. And you continue to use prayer to try and align me with you.
Yeah.
And I think prayer is one of those disciplines. I think it's one of those ingredients that as we go to the Lord in prayer, that when we have a right understanding of it, can be very fruitful in our growth and in our development. So alignment was one, learning to receive in prayer, learning to listen in prayer, understanding that he's present within me. Because when I would pray, I never thought he ever spoke because I just thought it had to be audible or somehow I'd hear it with an outer ear. But he said, no, I'm in you. I need you to listen from within. And that helped me greatly. And then the last one he had said was, you spend a lot of time in prayer trying to convince me what your highest good is. Like, what do you need me to do for you? And he said, I am your highest good, and I already know everything that you have need of. So let's cut down on that time and do some of these others.
I have one thought on that as we wrap up, but alignment is my word this year that the Lord gave me for this year. And I think it's so important that we look at the things he gives us in Scripture, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the things he's asking us to do, like stay present, put the pen down, things like that. Like, that is us aligning our will to his for us as individuals. But I think, too, so many times when not when he gives us just a revelation, but when he gives us like this personal word, whether we're sitting with him, we're abiding with him throughout the day, just talking as we're driving down the road, or whether we're in prayer, whatever that looks like, sometimes he gives us a personal, like, rhema word. And we go and we just share it. And he really wants, this is something he's teaching me, he really wants us to build it in the spirit realm through prayer.
Yeah.
It's not for us to share, whether it's about us or one of our kids or one of our friends. Like, there's things he gave me in 2016 for this body that I am still being instructed to build in prayer that I haven't said to anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's teaching, he's teaching us to build the things that he wants built in the spirit so they're ready to birth quickly.
Amen.
Like that Isaiah 66 scripture about the
I love that praying what we know already his will is, praying in alignment with him, praying in accordance with the things that he wants to see birthed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know we're about out of time, but scripture is a huge component of, you know, our personal growth and maturity, sharper than any two-edged sword, all those things. But we talk about it a lot. Always invite the Lord into your scripture reading. Don't just read it like Sports Illustrated or the newspaper. Invite him to, you know, what I said the other day, that don't just read the Bible, sit with the author. Right. It's best read with the author there interpreting it.
Absolutely. It's the only way to read it because it's not living otherwise.
That's right, because the law of the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Yeah. Jody, any final thoughts?
Well, when you were talking about prayer, I think one of the things that helped me the most to marry, like, some of the teachings that I was hearing and what we were doing, because they weren't really matching up that good, is when you taught that when we pray in Jesus' name, that word name actually meant the character of him.
Right,
And it made all these people who were praying all this crazy stuff and then saying,
In Jesus' name.
Because to me, I am pretty simple. I mean, if God says, if you pray something in my name, it's done, I believe it. I don't understand why it doesn't always happen. But that helped bring some of that into balance for me.
Yeah.
And it also changed how I pray.
Yeah.
Because if it's not in the character of Christ, what am I doing praying about it? I mean,
very
he
good.
Doesn't care what I'm driving.
Right.
He really
very
doesn't.
Good. Yep.
And
in his name, in his character, there's also a connotation of in his stead, which would be I'm praying something in the earth realm because I'm his body now that he wants to see manifested.
Yeah. I think, too, for those that, like, you don't have to have a degree to figure out that in Jesus' name means character. There are tools to be able to find that out.
Yeah.
So Bible Hub is a really good app that a lot of us use to be able to know, like, where it says hate your mother and father. What does that word hate really mean? Because you have to really know what that is, or sometimes it can taint your logical mind about who he is.
Amen.
So just being familiar with some of those as well as you dig into scripture.
You too, final thoughts before we pray? Anything?
I'm just probably for at least the last 6 months to a year-ish, I've just really had on my heart that we can, you know, teach people how, you know, to do these things at home, how to get started, even, you know, how do I start hearing from God? How do I start reading my Bible? How do I start abiding? You know, because that's something that I struggled with for a very long time. Like, I'm at the point, you know, in my life now where I've been a follower of Jesus for longer than I wasn't, you know, but I crawled for a really long time before I sort of understood what it meant to walk, you know, and I'm still getting there. And so to just begin, you know, even now, like one of my, you know, for lack of a better word, one of my greater fears is that I'll get to the end of my life and I'll look back and I've missed it. You know, I've missed my whole life. It's passed by and I wasn't present. And sometimes, like, that weighs on me. And, you know, while I'm praying, I'm like, God, you know, help me to be present. Help me to do these things. I feel like I've failed. You know, one of the best things that he told me was, you didn't fail. You know, you're learning. You're
That's
growing.
Right.
And the fact that you even care shows me your heart.
Amen.
Your desires are aligning with mine. You want to grow. You desire my heart. And so
that
you know,
is
just
awesome.
That desire. Yes, I fail all the time. Like, there's days where I get in bed and I'm like,
but you get back up.
I'm like, or I, you know, I'll lay there. I'm like, I don't want to give God my very end of the day. Like, oh man, I'm in bed. Okay. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you. You know, I don't want to give him that every day, but you know what? There's days where, man, life has happened and I'm in bed, but you know what? It's quiet and I'm here and I can choose in that moment to be present, not to fall asleep, but to be present and spend some time just talking with him, thinking over my day, being like, God, you know, where were you in these moments? Like, okay, here you were. And, you know, how...
When did I include you and when did
I not? Like, how could I have asked you about this instead? Or thank you so much for showing me this. And I look back on those things, and he's very evident there. And so it's not a day wasted. You know, it's not a day failed.
Well, and I am so glad that you said it. I'm actually going to... I want to address it corporately, that on our journey... From point A to point B, we're talking about maturity and Christ being formed in us and looking like him. We can never let guilt and condemnation and shame come in and trump what he's doing. Because the bottom line is, like Kyle said the other day when we had the chart on the fruit of the Spirit, this may be where I'm at, but it's not my final destination. You know, I'm going to continue to grow and mature and allow. And I think that's so important for everybody to hear that we don't want to give place to that. Did you have a final thought before I pray? Okay.
Good.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and we thank you for just a wonderful time to share in your heart for your people. And Lord, hey, we have a promise that you cause all things, even you know, with the virus and all that stuff, the drama that's going on, you cause all things to work together for our good, Lord, because we love you and we're called according to your purpose. And we thank you that this in no way is going to thwart our heart and passion to grow in you. And that, Lord, as the small groups here and there are able to meet, or even if it's just family members that are meeting, Lord, or even in individual times, we continue to give you permission. Grow us up, Lord, that when people see us, they see you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.